Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
These guys are in the kids ministry helping, holding our babies so we can enjoy Jesus. They're setting up chairs so you can sit down and hear this sermon. None of this church would be possible. Listen, it's not Pastor Yasmin and I, it's the dream team. I just want to honor them today. God bless you guys for all that you do. And Growth Track is really for those that are exploring what this church is all about. If you're, one of the things that we say here is try us five times. It takes five times to figure out if this is the family, this is the church that you want to be a part of. And if it is, Growth Track is really about what membership at Center Set looks like. Then we help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. And then we want to release you into leadership, and that's when church becomes fun, when you stop coming for yourself. One of the things we ask people is attend one and serve one, and most people say that the service they serve at is their favorite service. I'm going to read this verse to you and begin today's sermon, which is basically titled Fresh Air, and it's going to give you the why behind the next 3 weeks of this series. It's really about the Holy Spirit. And this verse, to give you some context, if you can put up on the screen right now. It's in Acts chapter 19. For those of you that are new to Christianity, half this church is basically accepted Christ in the last year that we've been in church. And so many of you are learning how to read the Bible and don't know how, and I understand. And let me explain what the book of Acts is. The life of Jesus is in the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the eyewitness account of who he is. Each one of these people have a different take. If there was an accident outside on the street and four of us saw it, we would say four different accounts. That's what the Gospels are. And the fifth book of the Bible, listen, isn't just his life, his death, his resurrection. It's what happens after he left. It's the first church plant. And if you know anything about the Bible, that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And when he went to heaven, listen, the Holy Spirit then fell on the church. And Acts chapter 19 is 30 years after he left. And I'm going to show you the same questions that they had then. Listen, the church today has today. And this sermon series, really, I want to not just give you information, I want to change your life. And it says that when Apollos was in Corinth, he went and planted a church there. And then one of the epistles, one of the letters in the New Testament called 1 and 2 Corinthians, are letters to that church. Some of you have heard of Girls Gone Crazy or Girls Gone Wild. These are Christians gone wild in that city. This is like, take Vegas to the next level. There's a guy in that Bible, let me just pause for a second. If you think the Bible's boring, listen, there's a guy in that church who's sleeping with his stepmom. Like, you don't need to watch Jerry Springer. You got all the drama in the Bible that you need. Paul took the road to the interior and arrived at Ephesus. So there's another book of the Bible called Ephesians that was written to that church. And then look what happens here. There he found some disciples. This is Paul again because he took the interior. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is a guy who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And the first question he asked is, are you a Christian? And I think it's so significant. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Knowing that when you accept Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit. So there must be some other experience that these guys don't have. Look at their response. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I think the number one reason why so many people don't, there are people in this church today that know who Jesus is, they love God, they know God, but they have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. And the number one reason why is there's just fear. Like, I grew up in the 80s. I grew up watching Ghostbusters. I'm not afraid of no ghost. But I don't want any Holy Ghost in my life. What's up with that? Right? And we all, if we're honest, we have one weird friend who's all about the Holy Spirit. Come on, right? And that guy puts us all off. But if we can just be honest, that guy is weird even without the Holy Spirit. Right? There's a poll that came out recently that says 1 in 3 Americans is kind of weird. So we're going to do something interesting. I want you to look to your left. Don't say anything. Just look to your left. And when you look to your right, if they're both normal, you have your answer. I'm just preaching the gospel here, guys. Come on. Many of us don't even have a theology based on the Bible. We have some negative church experience. We see some guy wearing a $10,000 suit on TV that just kind of puts us off. But what does God want us to know about the Holy Spirit? And that's what I want to do through this sermon series. I don't want you to come back to church. I want you to come every week for the next 3 weeks. Because I want this sermon series to change your life. The same way that Jesus was filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen, he wants you to be. Yeah. I think there are too many believers that have a belief system, but no power. And I want to introduce this Holy Spirit to you, because one of the reasons I want to teach a little bit today, get a little nerd on you, like, and preach a little bit. And the word Holy Spirit actually isn't even a word in the Bible. They had to translate this word the best way that they could. Your New Testament is in Greek, and your Old Testament is actually in two languages. The Old Testament scriptures are primarily in Hebrew, but there are two books that are in Aramaic. The Israelites were captured into Babylon for 7 years, and so they wrote those two books of the Bible, Daniel and Ezra, in Aramaic. But the word Holy Spirit, listen, shows up 800 times in your Bible. In the Old Testament, it's this word, Ruach. You gotta say it like you have popcorn in the back of your throat. Ruach. Notice it's not even a ghost or a spirit. Yeah. It's a wind. It's a breath. It's a violent exhalation. A blast of breath. Imagine if you're a Bible translator. Imagine you have God the Father, God the Son, God the breath. What kind of breath? Stank breath? No, holy breath. Like, you can't do that. So they use this word to help us understand who God is. And this is where it's used in the place in the Old Testament. The second verse of your Bible, now the earth was formless and void, formless and empty. Sorry, I remember as the NIV. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. This is the creation account, by the way. And the Spirit, that word is Ruach, the breath of God. That when he spoke the world into existence, what came out of his mouth was the very thing that created the world. The breath of God, the Ruach of God was hovering over the waters. In the New Testament, it's a different word because it's in Greek, and it's this word right here. Pneuma, the P is silent for those that went to public school. come on, you can have fun in church today, right? So, and notice, it's not even a spirit or a ghost. It's a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. Imagine trying to tell your friends about God the breath. That's why the translators use the Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And it's used multiple times in the New Testament. One time when Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 6, he says, the words I have spoken, like literally the words in your Bible, the words I have spoken to you are pneuma, and they are life. Literally the words in your Bible are not normal words. The words, the same Spirit of God that created the world, took something that was broken and formless and created life out of it. Listen, the words of the Bible want to take your broken life. He wants to bring life and reform something great out of it. Yeah. Amen, that's right. And so many people, listen, it's mission critical for your marriage, for your finances, for your future marriage, for your family, for your job, that you have the power of God, the wind of God in your life. Yeah. And what I want to do is I want to kind of demystify the Holy Spirit, because some people are just afraid of him. Some people don't even know who he is. So I want to describe who the Holy Spirit is and compare it to wind, because that's what the word literally means. And if you're taking notes today, they say that if you take notes in church, you're more likely to go to heaven. And I'm upstage up here, and I'm speaking, and I'm taking notes. And the first word is this: wind is unseen. Turn to your neighbor, say it's unseen. Turn to your other neighbor that you ignored the first time and say it's unseen. Everyone's welcome here. We want to love everyone at Center Set. See, every year, my wife and I, we go to Gilroy, and we try to do a family tradition where we get a pumpkin for our daughter. If you've ever been to Gilroy, it's always 100 degrees, even in January. And even when you're staying in the shade, you're sweating in places you can't even talk about in church. And every once in a while, you'll get this breath of, like, this breeze blowing your face, and you're like, oh, that feels so good. And when I say that, no one freaks out that I'm describing the wind that way. But listen, when we come to church and we use that same description, that it feels good about the Holy Spirit, people start freaking out. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what's wrong with that guy? Like, I don't feel that. What is he feeling? What's he smoking already? Listen, let me tell you something. God is not a person merely to be studied. He's a person to be experienced. And so many people, you think Christianity is just intellectual. It's the only religion, listen, that is both intellectual and mystical. One of the things that Pastor Yasmin and I pray every week is not that you'd be enamored by the amazing world-class preaching. Come on, that's a joke. I'm making sure you're paying attention. Or even the amazing worship, and Ethan does a great job. Or the hipster swag. Listen, we pray. We lay hands on every chair before service because we want you to have a moment during worship or during the sermon where you just are taken back by the presence of God. You're like, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. God is here. We long for that. Read this verse with me in John chapter 16. This is Jesus speaking. Many of you that are new to Christianity, let me give you some context what's going on. Jesus, this is a Thursday afternoon. He's about to be arrested this Thursday night and crucified Friday morning. This is literally his last meal. And because Jesus is spirit-filled, he's having in and out with his disciples. And this is his last conversation. And the vast majority, listen, was not about fantasy football or the Beyonce concert he went to last week at Levi Stadium. He's basically looking at his disciples and says, guys, I have 99 problems, but sin ain't one. I'm about to go on the cross and die. And look what he says. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what's that word? It's also translated in your Bible, counselor. It's best translated, comforter. Look how weird or unweird this comforter is. He's not going to spook you. He's not going to say boo. He's going to be with you forever. He's another advocate or counselor or comforter to help you and to be with you forever. The spirit of truth. The first year my wife and I were married was easily the hardest year or the 5 years that we've been married. That first year we had like $80,000 in debt. Crazy, right? But God, in 15 months of just miraculous miracle after miracle, got us out completely debt-free in 15 months. But in those first couple months, we made a decision. We want to live different now so that one day we can live different now. And we decided for an entire year, if you believe me, we didn't even eat out once, and we didn't even buy clothes for a year. It was crazy, considering Silicon Valley loves shopping, right? And there's like 6 months into it, Yasmin like crying, runs in the room like, Allie, I have nothing to wear. I'm like, honey, you don't need to wear clothes around me. Come on. I'll take one for the team. I work hard to be a good husband. And about a year into it of this aggressive plan, we go to a friend's house and they have like this 3-inch thick comforter on their bed. And as soon as we come home, Yasmin's like, Allie, we have to buy one of those. We literally had no furniture that first year. Like we were like poor, and there's like us, how poor we were. And I go, honey, okay, let's just do it. Let's just sacrifice for this. And I come home from work one day and there's this beautiful 3-inch thick comforter, just like my friends had had. And we hang out, rest of the night, we have dinner, we have Netflix. And then at the end of the evening, listen, you won't believe what happened. Someone broke into our house and stole that comforter and put the old bed sheets on the bed. Some of you women know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the men are like, well, what? Who stole it? Listen, I go, babe, where's the comforter? She goes, like taking a step back. That's not for use. That's only for looks. Listen, there are things in my house that I didn't even know until I got married that I can't use. There are towels in my house that you guys can use that I can't use. There was one time I was naked and come out of the bathroom after a long shower, and there's this brand new plump, thick towel. Pastor Yasmin runs in, what do you think you're doing? I'm like, what? I didn't know. Ladies, we don't know. She goes, what were you doing? I was like, I was naked and wet. What was I supposed to do? I didn't know. Maybe I was supposed to use paper towels. I don't know. But what my wife said is so true about so many of us in this room. How many of you are believers and you have a comforter that you don't use?
Wow, that's good.
And God wants him to be more than just looks in your life.
Yeah.
You need him.
Yeah.
And he's unseen. And there are so many people that reject God because there's an unseen nature of God. Look what Jesus continues this conversation. Look what he says. The world cannot accept him. Many people will laugh at you because you believe in the Holy Spirit. They cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. See, this world is the age of logic and science. If I can't touch it, if I can't see it, if I can't measure it, it doesn't exist. Yet the wind, you can't see, but you believe in it.
Wow. So good.
See, God is like the wind. And you need to stop being afraid of him. And you let him blow into your life. And says, but you will know him, for he lives with you, and will be in you. And the idea is that God is like a spirit. He wants to blow into your life. And so many of you, you don't come for the preaching. You don't come for the worship. You come from a dry and weary week. Because when you come in here, you just want the presence of God to refresh you, to blow some air into your sails for Monday. A couple months ago, we did a sermon series called You Asked For It. It was easily, by far in the last year, our most popular sermon series. We had 50 guests join our church because of that sermon series. And every week we would answer a question that you guys asked. It was like crazy the number of people that came, and they just wanted to hear questions that the church had never answered before. And there was this one time I'm out in the hallway after service, and I'm trying to greet as many people as possible. And there's probably a line of like three or four people, and there's this one older white gentleman with like his eyes are all big, and he's like white faced. I'm like, I don't know if he's gonna be angry or mad at me, but eventually he gets to the front. I'm like, so how was it? I'm always trying to find humor and things. I'm like, how was it? What did you think? He's like, Pastor, he's very formal. Pastor, there's something in that room. I'm like, did you like it though? He goes, oh yeah, I'll be back next week. And then he cusses and says, that was one hell of a sermon, by the way. Just give me a couple weeks, we'll work that out of you. And some of you are like, hell, that's a bad word, what? We love you too, you can come back next week as well. Listen, that guy didn't come back for an institution. He came back for the presence of God. And the wind of God that you can't see wants to blow in your life. Wind is unseen, and number two, wind is, on the screen, unpredictable. Unpredictable. This is why wind blows one direction and literally 5 minutes later it's blowing the exact opposite direction. So if you've ever been to the airport, they have these orange cones so the air traffic controller can know the strength and the direction of the wind. Because the wind is always shifting. And many of you in this room, this is why you don't like God. You want a God that's orderly and follows a routine and does the same thing every time. Listen, Pastor JJ said last week, you and I are control freaks. The control freaks are the people that God messes up big time with this theology. Because listen, he never does the same thing twice. You know why? Because if he did it the same way every time, you would worship the system instead of him. See, this is why people create denominations and new religions, because they have this radical encounter with God. And they say, unless you have that encounter, you didn't experience God. Look what it says in John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking. He says, Jesus answered, and the wind, that word right there is pneuma. It's the only place in the New Testament where the word is properly translated. The pneuma, the breath of God, blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming or where it's go. Cotton Eye Joe. Just making sure you're paying attention. Come on now. And he continues in verse 9. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit, the breath of God, the pneuma. See, God is unpredictable, and you have to be okay with it. He does things one time only. One time God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Imagine if Moses came down from that experience and said, hey guys, I know you think you know Jesus, but unless you have a burning bush experience, you ain't saved. Imagine if he said that. God does things one time. One time this guy comes to Jesus with his blind friend. And this guy had seen Jesus heal. He says, Jesus, I don't even want you to heal him. Just lay your hands on him. Because what he was really saying is, I know the trick how you do this thing. I want you to do the hand thing. And Jesus, knowing that this guy was worshiping the system and not him, didn't lay his hands on the guy. Jesus does something crazy. He spits, makes spit mud, and then puts the mud that spit in the dude's eyes. Imagine you're the friend that can see, oh my God, oh my God. Why would Jesus do that? Because he doesn't want you worshiping the system. He wants you worshiping him. And listen, wind is unseen and it's unpredictable. Listen, if you want to follow God for any more than 5 minutes, he's going to lead you places that you don't want to go. Listen, for about a year, Pastor Yasmin was in the friend zone. And God said, you need to put her in the bay zone. I was like, come on, no. God will do unpredictable things. He'll lead you places that you don't want to go yourself. He'll ask you to forgive enemies that you would never want to forgive. He'll tell you to read a scripture when you would rather watch fantasy football. He'll tell you to serve in your church when you would rather just receive. He's going to ask you to do things, listen, that your flesh doesn't want to do. And it's going to feel unpredictable. But that's how he changes you. He's unseen and he's unpredictable. And number three, wind is, say this word with me, refreshing. Refreshing. Every year since my daughter's been born, my wife likes to spend a day or two in Disneyland. We spend money we don't have to take pictures we never hang on the wall, to have an experience that my daughter doesn't even remember. I'm not bitter at all. I'm just talking. I'm just talking. And whenever we're driving down to LA, we always stop in a hellishly hot place called Kettleman City. You ever been there? No one lives here. You just stop and you leave. If you're from Kettleman City, well, we'd love to pray for you after service. This place is so hot, even the devil doesn't want to hang out there. Like, we'll go inside and have a double-double, and then we come back, and as soon as we open the door, listen, the fire of hell will hit you in the face. And the AC isn't enough. You gotta roll the windows down and drive around and get some wind in it. It's just so refreshing when that heat that's like boiling you leaves you. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to refresh you like that. And you can be in the heat of sin. And God will run to you. And he'll want to speak to you. And so many people misunderstand God. They think God is obsessed with sin, and he's not. God is obsessed with love and righteousness. And he will speak to you as a sign of his love. Not because he's angry. Read this verse with me. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. Because if I don't, the advocate or the counselor or the comforter won't come. Listen to the context of this verse. Jesus is their superstar. He's essentially their LeBron James. LeBron James just left Cleveland. Imagine if it's game 7 of the finals. And LeBron James says, I don't want to play game 7 with you guys. I'm going to come off the court and coach you guys from the side. I'm going to be an intercessor. But we have no chance without you, LeBron James. LeBron James says, listen, imagine one person being a superstar. Now imagine if 5 people on the court are superstars. That's what Jesus is trying to teach you. And instead of one person being filled with the Spirit, which was Jesus, when he left, all of us can be filled with the Spirit. What do you call 5 LeBron James on the court? The Warriors. Come on now. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, say when.
When
he comes, he will convict the world of its sin. See, this word convict is so misunderstood in Christianity. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The devil wants to condemn you. He wants to remind you of your past and say you are that mistake. God will never use you, forgive you. You shouldn't go to church. You shouldn't tell other people because he wants to embarrass you. Conviction is different. Listen, in the same way that in our court system, when you commit a crime, you can never be tried for the same crime twice. It's called double jeopardy. The same is true of God. God forgave us of all of our sins in the past, all of our sins today, and even the sins we haven't committed yet. That means when he's convicting you, it's not because he's angry, because he's already punished Jesus with his anger. That means when he's speaking to you, convicting you, it's his act of love. Listen, I'm so grateful for a God who doesn't run when I'm in the heat of sin. He runs to me to speak to me because he wants to convict me to refresh me. There was when I was a youth pastor for about 5 years, there was literally a mini-me demon in my group. This guy would set poster boards on fire. He would like burp and fart during my sermons. It was crazy. I wanted to like ask God to close his eyes for like 2 minutes. Just let me have my way with him in Jesus' name. And listen, I led that guy to faith, and that was like leading Osama bin Laden to faith at the time. And one day he comes to me a week after he prayed the sinner's prayer with me, a year after fasting and praying for this little demon. Just being real. He comes to me and says, Alec, we have to speak. I'm like, what do we need to talk about, bro? What's up? And he comes over to my house. He's like, I can't do it anymore. I'm like, you can't do what? See, what you didn't know is this guy was a drug dealer. He was like a big time weed dealer. He's 17. I don't even know how you become a drug dealer at 17, but this kid was. And he's like 5'2", 100 pounds, carrying groceries. I don't even know how people are afraid of this guy and don't take his territory. But this guy was selling a lot of weed. And he goes, I can't do it anymore. I'm like, what can't you do? He's like, I have this feeling. I'm like, conviction? He's like, yeah, make it go away. And I gave him one of those like Milhouse from The Simpsons laughs. Ha ha! Like, I'm like, you're done, bro. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's a sign that God loves you and that he's in you. And he has better for you than you want for yourself. And if you listen, he wants to refresh you. Listen, in the same way that I opened that door in Kettleman City and the fire, the heat of hell is in my face, you can be in the heat of sin. And God's conviction is meant to refresh you, not to condemn you. Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit, listen, to beat you down. He sent the Holy Spirit to raise you up. Wind is unseen. It is unpredictable. And if you listen to its voice, it will refresh your soul. That's why David in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is my enemy. Shepherds lay their life down for the sheep. How many people are grateful for a God who sent his son Jesus to die for us? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside green pastures. He makes me lie down by still waters. He refreshes my soul. If you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, if you're not afraid of him anymore, he'll refresh your soul. And number 4, if you're taking notes, wind is powerful. Wind is powerful. Wind can generate electricity. It could move a massive sailboat. And when it's channeled, listen, it can, in the form of a tornado or a hurricane, it can destroy entire cities. That's how powerful wind is. I just so believe that there are people in this room, that there are things that you're experiencing, things in your life that human power cannot fix. And because you're embarrassed or you're afraid of the Holy Spirit, if someone has packaged him in a weird way, you don't even live by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a belief system, but no power. And for the next 3 weeks, I just want to introduce you to him so that you won't be afraid of him. Because Jesus died so that you can have him. And if Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, listen, how much more do we need him? And let me read this one last verse to you. It's Acts chapter 8. This is literally right after Jesus died and resurrected. He's like, guys, I just had the best 3 years. You guys are the best dream team. I'm about to go to my rightful place in heaven, but I don't want you to freak out. You're not going to be alone. I'm going to send you someone else. But don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit. You can't build your faith. You can't build your family. You can't build your church. You can't build revival in this city without him. He says, but you will receive, what's that word?
Power.
Power. That's the word in Greek, dunamos. It's the Greek root word for dynamite. You will receive dynamite when pneuma comes upon you. When the Spirit of God blows on you, the God that you can't see, the God that's unpredictable, the God that wants to refresh your soul, he wants to give you dynamite. I just so believe that in my own life, I don't know about you, but there are things that I can't overcome without the Spirit of God. We need his power. Imagine if we had a God that gave us the desire to follow him, but not the ability. Think how cruel God would be if he gave us the desire to want to do the things of God, but then not the ability. We would all look like the first 2 weeks of American Idol. We have all this desire, we had no ability, right? Let's be real, those guys don't have any ability. Think how weird our faith would be if that was us. We want to follow God, but then we couldn't do it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to love your enemies. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to love your wife. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive those that hurt you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to live the life that he died to give you, your calling. The victorious life can never be lived on your strength, on your discipline, but on his strength.
Yeah.
This is why Philippians 4 says, I can do all things, not some things, all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does our strength come from? Where does our ability come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And there's a gentleman who I think his story is so familiar with the church in America. His name is Charles Finney. He grew up in the church. He knew the Bible in and out. But he got sick and tired of religion. Just going to buildings to sing songs from Australia. Hillsong back then, but I'm just making a joke today. And this guy was considered the father of revival. And he had this encounter with the Holy Spirit that changed everything. And I want you to read his words with me. The Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed like to come in waves and waves of liquid love. I love that description. For I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit is unseen like the wind. He is unpredictable like the wind. And he wants to refresh your soul like the wind. And you cannot do Christianity without him. If I can get you guys all to stand and pray, let's pray that our minds get renewed this morning and we ask for more of him in our life. If you guys can close your eyes and bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we all have that weird friend who's weird even without you. And God, we're tired of living life apart from you. Would you just blow on us today, God? Would you blow on those who know Jesus but don't know you, Holy Spirit? Your job, Holy Spirit, is to reveal Jesus, to empower us to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus. God, this life is impossible without you. That's you this morning. If you're like those believers in Acts chapter 19, where you are a believer, but when someone asks you, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You say, what Holy Spirit? And you want to pray that from this day forward, that he would fill you, he would empower you, and you learn to live, to hear his voice, and to be led by him. If that's you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you this morning. If you want to renew your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you back there, you over here on the side. Yes. Would you just pray this prayer? You guys can put your hands down. God, would you just fill me with your Spirit, God? I want to follow you all the days of my life. In the same way, Holy Spirit, that you fell on Jesus, fall on me. In the same way that you empowered Jesus, empower me. In the same way that you filled him to forgive his enemies, God, help me forgive those in my life. Help me live the life that I can never live apart from you. Every time in my own strength, God, I die. But with your strength, I can do all things who empower me. And I just want to also pray this morning. I just feel so led that there are some of you, this is your first time in church, and we are so grateful that you are here this morning. We created this church for people who don't like going to church. And I just so believe that there are some of you this morning, the weight of sin, the need for a Savior is so real on you this morning. And you don't even know how to be a Christian. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to go to a holy land or live a holy life. You just place your faith in the only holy one who is Jesus, the God who became a man. And he left heaven to die for you. He left heaven to refresh your soul, to speak over the formlessness of the earth. He wants to speak that same word over your life and bring order where there is disorder, to bring life where there is death. And listen, he died so that you can live. He suffered so that you can be blessed. And he was separated from God so that you can be brought near. I just so believe that there are people in this room that want to start that relationship with Jesus with every eye closed and with every head bowed. If that's you this morning and you want to start a relationship with Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I would love. You're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. You're saying yes to Jesus, the lover of your soul, the one who died for you. If that's you this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just raise your hand? Yes. You in the front. Yes, you can put your hand down. Just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying my sin. Thank you for new life that I can find in you. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who now lives in me, who helps me follow you all the days of my life. God, I need your help to follow you. God, I need your help to live, to love like you. Jesus, would you fill me with your Spirit so I can walk with you all the days of my life? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Centerset Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.